Welcome back to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner, and on today's episode, we're going to look at week one matchup between Notre Dame and Texas A&M. So, disclaimer for anyone who is unaware of this, I am a gigantic Notre Dame fan. Now, I don't really like to do a lot of analysis on their games and things like that because, you know, I am human, so it's hard for me to, just like anybody, get away from my biases, right? But I'm going to be brutally honest, and these two teams are two of the most intriguing teams this year for numerous reasons. As I've touched base on, it feels like four episodes now about Texas A&M, I think they have the best coaching change from top to bottom in the entire country. And that's not because Mike Elko is like a top five coach, because I do not believe that. But I think Jimbo Fisher is horrendous. And as I've stated before, he's the John Calipari, however the fuck you pronounce his name, of college football. He has done less with more talent than any other coach that I've ever seen in my life. And I mean, on top of that, they had Bobby Petrino at offensive coordinator calling offenses like it's the 1960s. So they are getting a huge upgrade at head coach and at offensive coordinator. They get Colin Klein from Kansas State. So they have a gigantic increase in modern techniques and, just a better like motivator and organizer of talent overall. On top of all of that, they bring back, they are only one of three teams to be top 40 in returning production from top 40 in overall returning production from offense and defense, and be top 40 in efficiency from S&P Plus last year for both units. So they are an elite team. And Kyle Fieldhouse is probably a top five hardest venue to play in. Without question. Now, I feel that the flip side of that coin is Notre Dame also has a gigantic change in their landscape. An offensive coordinator change is huge. They're getting Mike Denbrock from LSU, and you're going to see a modern offense at Notre Dame for the first time ever. Just in my lifetime, but ever. And to kind of give you like a little insight to that, LSU ran 11 personnel 95.7% of the time last year for passing attempts. That's fourth overall. Notre Dame last year ran at 65.5% of the time. So not only that, but you're also going to see modern techniques. Notre Dame last year, they're 114th in play action dropback percentage, 23%, and 82nd in motion dropback percentage. Well, LSU is much higher. On the motion side of the ball, they're fourth overall, 61.8% of the time. So they are always going to have something to show the defense. And these type of techniques, I've harped on it time and time again, it just puts the defense at a disadvantage, and you have got to do that in the modern game. Now, the flip side, having Riley Leonard at quarterback, there are a lot of storylines and narratives we can go with here. Obviously, Mike Elko coached him at Duke, and so you have to think that he is going to probably have some type of schematic advantage, at least when trying to defend him. But that's yet to be seen, because the biggest thing that stands out to me is going to be from the defensive coordinator standpoint. Is Texas A&M going to run similar rates of man coverage that they did last year, or are they going to run like lower rates? And that's really all up to Jay Bateman. He was a Florida linebackers coach. And if you look at the overall like profiles from a defensive standpoint, Texas A&M ran man coverage 51% of the time last year. That was fourth overall. Florida, not quite as high, but still high enough. They ran it 41% of the time. So are they going to lean into that man coverage, you know, style and just kind of stick with that? Or are they going to kind of balance it back out, go a little more zone, you know, take on that actual identity? Now, when it comes to Notre Dame side of the ball, they actually, you know, I don't know if they're going to dial back at all. You know, they blitzed at the second highest rate, only behind Clemson last year, 46.8% of the time they were blitzing. And they can do that because, you know, they arguably have the best, you know, cornerback in college football. Now, 46.8% of the time, you know, like, that's leaving your guys out there, you know, it's like, you know, fight or flight, basically, when they're out there. And, you know, when you're blitzing at that higher rate, you don't expect to be that efficient, you know, because it's a gamble. But they were, you know, they were third overall in efficiency. And that's all because of Benjamin Morrison, Xavier Watts. Like, they just, they're hard. You know, if these guys can't get free, you got receivers who can't get free, then the blitz is going to get home. Like, it's just going to. Now, Texas A&M last year, they also blitzed at an elevated rate, not quite as high, 33% of the time. But Florida was not really in that same, you know, stratosphere. So we'll have to see what the tactics behind that's going to be, because that's going to be a big difference when it comes to, you know, quarterback play. So we'll look at quarterback play. Connor Weigman is the quarterback for A&M. He had limited time last year, but he was good against the blitz. He was 23rd in EPA per blitz attempt, so nothing to scoff at. Very solid. And then versus Power 5 defenses overall, he was 66th. And then on, like, crucial downs, third and fourth down, he was 7th, you know. So there's a lot to unpack and, like, pack into that. You know, he's played well in the SEC against defenses that were, you know, that were tough. You know, and the biggest, I think, outlier for this entire game is going to be whether or not Riley Leonard is, A, completely healthy, and if he can use his mobility. Because that was his biggest asset at Duke, is he just put the defense in tough spots. He is not the polished pocket passer that Sam Hartman was. But Sam Hartman was also not the athlete that Riley Leonard is. So you can't have it all. You know, we can't all have Jaden Daniels on our team, or, you know, just, like, ride him to a Heisman. You know, that's just, like, that's just not going to be Notre Dame probably ever. We're just never going to get that type of recruit. But I think with the modern tendencies that are coming into the offense, there is a lot to like for Notre Dame. But again, the flip side of all of that is Texas A&M is no slouch from any metric, you know. So we're going to dive into the extended red zone metrics and try to see if there's anything that really stands out from either side. So the extended red zone out to the 40. Last year, Notre Dame was 14th in EPA per attempt inside their opponent's 40. So that's pretty solid, especially when it's against Power 5 defenses. Now, Texas A&M, on the other hand, was 53rd. But I can't even take that, like, at face value, simply because, like, they had an awful coaching staff. Bobby Petrino calling horrendous plays. Like, so they're 53rd. But, like, that roster talent is not 53rd, you know. So it's hard for me to take that at face value, right? So then we go to Notre Dame's defensively inside their own reds, their own 40, their 10th overall. And that is a little imbalanced. They were 30th against the pass, which is average, but they were number one against the rush inside their own 40. Now, when you go down to Texas A&M, obviously their defense shines there. They're 18th. Inside their own 40 in EPA per attempt. So you've got a lot going here. Now, The line is I think 2.5. Texas A&M is favored. I do not have any prop lines that really stand out to me. I mean, Notre Dame's getting the X receiver Bo Collins from Clemson, who is pretty good. But I don't see – I have to see how he fits in the system. I have to see if we're actually going to see these elevated rates of 11 personnel for the first time in my life and my father's life and, you know, my grandfather's life. You know, like, is this going to be a reality or is it just going to be another letdown? Now, when I look at it from those points of view, I do think, you know, the returning production for Texas A&M is elite. As I stated, it's top tier. I do think the Notre Dame defense, though, is better. And the reason I say that, I mean, they were elite last year. And if the offense had more ingenuity and innovation, they probably could have competed and won, you know, the games that they actually ended up losing. Now, I say this every year. Every year I'm ready to be hurt again by Notre Dame. I'm ready to be disappointed. They seem to do that pretty well. I don't have a strong lean either way in this game. But I do think the innovation from a play calling standpoint for Notre Dame paired with an actual athletic dual threat quarterback who we have never had, paired with the better defense and the ability to cause havoc based off the blitzing rates and the ability to just stick Benjamin Morrison out there and say, hey, man, lock him up. You know, you're by yourself. I think that gives them an advantage. Now, with that being said, Kyle Fieldhouse is an absolute zoo to play in. And I don't know if they get down, you know, it could be over. You know, if they get down two possessions, like the game could very well be over. But I am going to stick to my guns and my analysis that gives the slight edge to Notre Dame when it comes to the data. Now, when it comes to the narrative, Texas A&M fits better. So you take with that, you do with that, which what you will. And that is going to be my last preview for week one. It'll be the last game I watch. So hopefully it'll be, I'll be disappointed or happy one way or another. And that's going to be it. So if you have any other questions, suggestions, comments, ideas for topics you want me to cover, you can always reach me on Twitter. You can email me at themittnermethod@gmail.com or, you know, you can leave me a comment on any one of the episodes. So other than that, as always, thank you for listening and I hope your week one goes well and I'll catch you on the next one. Take care.